Thank you for your attendance. I believe this is the first time I've had the honor of introducing our brother. He has long been a fixture in my mind as I have attended this local all my life, and he has been here as long as I can remember. And he's always been it's always been there in my mind and in my life, you know. So he, for many years when my father was off in the mission field, he was one of those that took the place and was able to be a mentor and a friend. You know, and as we continue to, as he is now our pastor, he still has that desire to be a mentor and to shepherd this flock. And so I would ask that you pay close attention to him this day, you know, and listen to the words which he has prepared for us. So I give you our brother, Pastor Andy Brown.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning to each of you and to those of you that are live streaming. It's good to see you out today. I oftentimes say I'm thankful to be here, and I am thankful to be here. I'm not always thankful to be the speaker because I don't consider myself a very good one. But I am thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And as I come this morning, I do feel like the Lord has placed a message upon my heart now for several weeks, knowing that I would have an opportunity at some point to stand before you. And I'm probably like most of the other guys, I forget when I schedule myself, so I have to look at the calendar and say, oh yeah, it's my turn coming up. And so as we come today, I am indeed thankful to be able to address you. I feel like as oftentimes my sermon is really focused upon the people who are in this room. And I I always tell myself I'm not going to get choked up. I relate very much to the Apostle Paul, as I feel that much of his writings are to us today a very practical application. There's that word, guys, that were in my Sunday school class. This morning we talked about what practical application meant, that many of his words can be applied to our daily walk. I'm trying to organize my thoughts. I have a few scriptures, but I have some points I want to make, and I don't want them to get lost in the midst. I'm going to ask that you follow along. As oftentimes when I'm reading in the words of Paul, it's a little bit tongue-twisting. As most of you know, I have struggled the last few weeks with a couple sore toes. And I was wore my house shoes to church, and wore my kind of my flip-flop things to church. And I borrowed a pair of Joel's boots because they're a size and a half bigger than mine, so I wore those for a couple weeks. And but my toe's better, and I came on a Wednesday night, probably 2 weeks ago, and was administered to, and I don't want to sound like I was not faithful, because I had every intention of receiving a blessing when I came up to be administered to. And I felt like I did receive a blessing. And and the blessing really was I don't know if that's going to be enough Kleenex or not. The blessing really was is that the Lord said, I'm going to teach you a lesson here. I'm not going to heal your toe. And it was going to be a practical application of God's word for me. And part of that was I felt like he had a very particular message that he wanted me to not be slothful in delivering in Washington. And maybe I can move that down a little bit. And a very practical and very particular message that he wanted me to deliver here today. And it seems kind of silly that you get all that out of a sore toe. But I find that in my life, when it comes to the Lord speaking to me, he usually has to hit me upside the head with a 2x4 first to get my attention and then let me know what it is he's trying to tell me. And so this lesson comes for me having a sore toe. And hopefully you can get out of it what the Lord intends for you to get out of it. And, so I was saying I believe it is particularly for our local here, and hopefully can be applied for those that are listening in. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. And we're going to start in verse 1. And if you would, please follow along with me. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And I find that that's a correct statement for you and I today. Sometimes we talk about things that are spiritual gifts, but I don't know that we really understand it or even accept that that should be a part of God's kingdom on earth. It says, "You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away and dumb idols, even as ye were led." And he was talking to, of course, the people of Corinth weren't of the house of Israel. They were Gentiles, and they had idols on the shelf, you know. "Wherefore I give you an understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God and calleth Christ accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diverse gifts by the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations by the same Lord, and there are adverse operations, but it is by the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, and to another working of miracles, and another prophecy, and another discerning of spirits, and another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." There's a couple things here I'd like us to focus on. And that is that if we can recognize, truly recognize in our hearts, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Son of God, that true understanding comes by the Spirit of God. And that when there is miracles, if there is a gift of prophecy or of tongues, it's by the Spirit, that same Spirit. And he spoke to these folks here in Corinth who are used to having multiple gods, multiple idols. For anybody who's ever looked at the religions of India or have been there, there's hundreds of gods, hundreds of god groups, and then there's certain gods under those groups. And this was the kind of people that Paul was speaking to. So he was trying to really impress upon him, there's one God, one Spirit. And by that Spirit, we are fed. And I want that to rest upon your mind for just a little bit. That this body, little Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona, needs to be reliant upon the Spirit of God. I talked to some of our brethren this morning in our little meeting in the morning, and I said, I remember the day that I sat right over there behind where Erica sat, and when my wife and I was first married, and even before then, and I was totally satisfied to let one of these older brothers get up here and do the preaching, and if somebody was called to be administered to, well, then there's going to be a couple brothers up here, and it was good. The bases were all covered. Okay? But here I am today, not realizing that day where I needed to be. And so I want us to become more in tune to the Spirit. I want to read another verse of Scripture. Most of my Scriptures today is going to be taken out of Corinthians, so if you want to leave that open. We're going to jump over into the book of Moroni in the 7th chapter. And read in the 35th verse, just real quick there. It said, "And Christ has said, if you will have faith in me, you shall have the power to do whatsoever thing which is expedient in me." So, my sermon today is not really about faith, but it's an important part. What's the word expedient mean? Where's Logan at? I was quizzing him earlier. He's hiding over there. Logan, do you know what the word expedient means? No? I don't blame you. Somebody help me out here. What's the word expedient mean?
It's beneficial.
Beneficial? Okay.
Proper for the time.
That was my thought. It was beneficial for that particular time. It was what needed to be done that was right in the moment. So here, in the book of Moroni, it says that if you have faith, that you will have power to do whatever is expedient. And let's continue on to 36th verse. It says, "And he said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, and you shall be saved." A very important part. Again, my sermon today is not about repentance. But, sometimes we need to talk about it just briefly. Repentance needs to be a daily part of our life. If we're truly trying to bring our life in to subjection to the Lord Jesus, we have to be repentant. If you haven't made the commitment in the waters of baptism, you need to get over whatever the problem is and do it. You need to do it. You can't enter into the kingdom. The Scripture tells us that that is the gate to the kingdom. You have to do it. And part of it has to do with humility. None of us are really like getting dunked in the water in front of a bunch of people. That's just not really flattering, is it? But we have to do it. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. 37th verse, and it says, "Now, my beloved brethren, if these things be the case, then these things are true which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, has the day of miracles ceased?" We just read a scripture about what the gifts of the Spirit were. And, these different, by different, all the same Spirit, all these different gifts were. "Has angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or has he withdrawn the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last on the earth, shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved. Behold, I say unto you, nay. The Lord is not wanting to withdraw his spirit from us. He's not wanting to have a second seat, a back seat in your life. He wants to be in the driver's seat. That's where he's placed himself. He wants to be in the driver's seat, but you got to scoot over and let him. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save there shall be faith in his name. It starts right there. We have to believe that he is who he says he is. Wherefore, if these things cease, and then has faith ceased also, and awful is the state of man, for there are those that shall be no redemption made. You know, here we're looking at, in Corinthians, these workings of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I would like to see a greater working of the Spirit, a greater outpouring of the Spirit. I want to ask a question, and if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to, but how many people in this room has seen the gift of tongues, have been present with the gift of tongues were given? You know, half a dozen? Maybe a little more? I know Jim had. He's saying, what did he say? Why? Why isn't it most of us? Okay. Is it something we desire, or are we complacent? I'm going to say we're complacent. I'm going to say that the Lord, you know, allowed my toe to be sore to teach me a lesson, try and teach me a lesson, I'm not sure I've learned it yet, but to bring these things to my mind in reflection of the body. This body got a sore toe. And that's... That's kind of hard for me to say. That as a body of believers, as a local that I look at as being a really nice local, you know, one that I'm glad to be a part of. I'm glad to fill my spot in the pew down there. But I believe that the Lord is endeavoring to show me that we're not all well. That we got some ailments, we got a sore toe, and that there's a need to bring it to your attention. To bring it to your attention. I can't correct it. Nor would I try. Some, each and every one of us, and for each one of us, it may be a little different. But I really feel like that it largely hinges on complacency. That we're just satisfied to come and fill our spot in the pew, do our thing on Sunday, and move on. And I'm not saying anybody's living a terrible, wicked life. I'm not saying that. But the Lord desires him to be first in our life, not second, not in the back seat. Let's continue to read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to shift gears just a little bit. And we're starting the 12th verse. And it says, As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He's talking about you and I. This is one body. Those that aren't present here today are still a part of that body. Those who chose not to come. I know some people are in Colorado and some people are here traveling to missionary field. I'm not talking about them. Those that chose to go do something else. To sit at home. Still part of the body. For as one Spirit are we all baptized, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Spirit. When you go down into the waters of baptism, you become a part of the body. Okay, we're going to read a little bit further about we're not all the same part, are we? But we choose to be a part of the body. Verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." You know, and I can guarantee you that I don't think on a daily basis like most of you do. I come from a different place. I relate to things differently. There's some of you in here, obviously I relate well to. Adam, we both like woodworking, we both like hunting. You know, my sons, they were stuck with me. I relate to them, you know. But a lot of you, I just come from a different place. I don't get it. Things I see people do, I don't get it. But you know, it's all right. I don't have to get it. It's not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily wrong. We're still one body. And I can't make these separations, you know, because my wife loves cats and I hate them. I'd eat one, but that's it. But every time I threaten to do that at home, I get really big trouble. It's all right, though. We don't all have to like cats or dogs or anything else. It doesn't matter. We are bound together in the body through Jesus Christ. That's got to be the focus. And we can let these other things really irritate us. I'm a guy that can get irritated really quick. You know why? Because I'm critical. I can be very critical. And critical people get irritated because they get really disappointed because not everybody in the world looks like they do, acts like they do, you know. So that's a problem here, though. It's not a problem out there. The focus has to be that the body of Christ functions well. I work with a guy. His name's Rob. Pretty nice guy. But he's one of these guys that looks like he sleeps on the weight bench. I mean, he counts how many calories a day he eats. He works out every day. He walks around the building going, stretching all the time. And he's really beefy. Very good shape. But he spends a lot of hours to keep his body in that condition. A lot of effort. I'll walk into our office and it smells funny in there. I'm like, what are you eating? Oh, it's tuna and this and that, you know. It's like, yeah, it doesn't look good at all. It doesn't smell good at all. But he does the effort to make his body at the top physical condition it can possibly be in. And my question is, do we do that? Are we making effort that the body of Christ is in its top condition, physical condition, not physical here, but as a functioning group? Do I have a little heartache with someone over here, so I just kind of steer around them? I have a little beef with this brother over here, so no, I just, that's right, I just shake his hand, smile nice, and move on. Or do we take the effort to fix it? You know, my toe's been a real pain in more ways than one. Every day, I stick my foot up in the air, and one of my sons has to come along and cut these little pads and put them between my toes and package it up and tape it up and keep it totally dry and blah, blah, blah. Not fun at all. But the alternative to that is to wander around with a really sore toe, swollen up, too big to fit in my boot. So I go through the pain. I go through the discomfort. And Nay, you know, he does this kind of thing for a living, working on wounds. And so he knows what to do, but man, after you get done working on it, it hurts so bad. I'm like, I'm not going to have you work on it. I'll just leave it alone. But it's not going to get fixed. It's painful. And I hope you see the correlation here. sometimes to fix relationships, to recover wounded parts of the body. It's a little painful. It hurts a little bit. Uncomfortable. But the end result, to have a good, healthy toe, I'm telling you right now, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. And to have a good, healthy body that not only functions well, but the Lord can use to accomplish His purpose. That's the important thing. We got a broken leg, it's hard to accomplish anything. But when we're in good shape, we can get out and do a lot of stuff. Let's continue to read here. The 14th verse, and it says, "For the body is not one member, but many, many." 15th verse, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him." Excuse me. I'll try not to blow my nose in your ear. I want us to think about the 18th verse I just read. "And now hath God set every member, every one in the body as it pleased Him." Are we willing to accept that? Are you willing to accept that? Well, I want to be an apostle. No, I don't. I tell you that right now. No, I don't. But if that's my thought, then that means I'm not being satisfied where I'm at. Am I doing what the Lord would have me to do today? I taught Sunday school this morning out here for the young people, and we talked about service. None of those young people drive, so they're dependent on their parents to get them somewhere. None of them, I'm assuming, have much money. They don't have a job. But you know what? There's still things they can do. We talked about, I challenge each one of them, be of some service to somebody this week. Go and seek out somebody to serve this week. They can do that. You know, our brother Don over here, you know, he's struggling with his eyesight, but you know what? There's still a lot he can do. Still has a lot of good service, a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom left there. There's something he can do. And everybody in between have a function in the body. And if the body's going to be healthy, if the body's going to be strong, then you got to get about it. You got to get about your part of what it is. You're not just here to warm a pew for a couple hours a week. That's not what the Lord's called us to do. That's just a little tiny part of it. Very small numbers of people throughout history have changed the course of history because of their dedication, because of their willingness to get out of their comfort zone and do what the Lord had them to do. We have to be able to listen to that Spirit that would lead us. Let's continue reading there. In the 19th verse, and it says, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' or again can the hand to the foot, 'I have no need of thee, of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." I hope you guys are listening to that. "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, unto these we bestow more abundant honor. And to the uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts that lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That is my focus today, is those words there. And I want to, again, talk just a little more about this, because as in most all my sermons, there's got to be a practical application today. What can we do today? And I really feel like that with this sore toe of mine, this is exactly what the lesson that the Lord was trying to show me, is that we can be judgmental. We can be, not give that more abundant honor to those parts that are less honorable. But I want us to go back and read the 25th verse here in a few minutes, but I want to talk a little bit more about it first. You guys like the looks of my nice pretty rock? Isn't that the prettiest rock you ever seen? No, it isn't, is it? Kind of a dull, kind of ugly. One color, maybe a little bit of gray in it. Not that pretty a rock, is it? Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm kind of like this rock. You know, I set my spot out there in the pew, and some days I'm not really pretty. Some days I'm not really good to be around at all, because I allow myself to get discouraged or be distracted. But I'm here to tell you, we got members of our church that are like this rock. They're good, solid, not going anywhere members. And they have a lot of value. There's some real beauty inside that maybe we don't see. I was going to talk to our brother Kenny this morning, and I remembered he was in Colorado. So I want to talk a little bit about Kenny. I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Kenny, I don't mean just shake his hand, he's the ice cream man on Sunday. If you don't know him, you're missing out. There's a nice guy living in there. Kind of hard, he's like this rock. A little bit hard to get through sometimes. He's not perfect, he's got all the same human traits the rest of us do. I'm not holding him up that way. He's not going to go down in history as a communicator. He's not going to be on his tombstone, "This man talked too much." He's just not going to be there, you know. But if you can listen, there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of facts. Knows far more about anything that's happened in the news than I do. Knows far more about any sports team than I do. But the thing that Deb and I have, over time, have enjoyed quizzing him on is things that has happened in this local in the last 15 years, 20 years. There's a recall of it like it was yesterday. Names, dates, right down the road. I'm like, man, I can't remember what happened last week. You know. But looking out the outside, you're missing it. You're not getting it. He's a little gruff, a little rough, like a lot of us. A little slow to speak. But there's a valuable part of the body resides there. But we can miss it. We can miss it. And that goes true for every one of us. Every one of us have talents. Every one of us has value, because the Lord has placed us in the body as it pleased him. Not as it pleased me, you know, as it pleased him. Those brethren who are in the ministry, same thing. We don't always see eye to eye. We have different ideas. But we were placed in the body as it pleased him to fulfill a certain purpose. So one of my messages for you today is, get outside of your comfort zone. Go sit down and lunch with someone you normally don't eat with. Call someone, your brothers and sisters up here on the phone that you normally don't spend much time with. Invite them out for coffee. Invite them over to your house for dinner. Whatever. Get to know the rest of the body. I made a statement to the young people there in Sunday school this morning. When do I learn the most about somebody? Anybody tell you? Tell me. When do I learn the most about somebody?
When you're eating with them, listening.
At their funeral. I'll learn more about you at your funeral than I knew in 40 years of sitting next to you in church. And never, I'm always amazed. I go to someone's funeral, it's like, wow, I didn't know that about them. Wow, I didn't know that about them. I didn't know they were in the military. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. Why? Because I didn't take the time to truly get to know them. Especially spiritually. And I want us to have a focus that we are here to uplift. We're here to uplift. If you know a brother or sister's having a hard time, uplift. Even if they're not your normal people, you rub elbows. See if you can uplift them. Strengthen them. Pray for them. We have to exercise. We have to medicate. We have to encourage the body if we're truly going to be like that guy I work with. It's just a super physical condition. You and I have to be ready. I'm going to tell you a quick story, as well as ask for prayers for this individual. My nephew, Chris. Some of you know my nephew, Chris. He's in the hospital over here in Scottsdale. Been there for a week. A week ago today. And was in a car accident. Busted him all to pieces. I mean, his back, his leg, his shoulder, his face. Broke him all to pieces. And I talked to him the other day. I said, you didn't see that coming, did you? He's coming home from up in the mountains and down around a curve, and there was a car stopped in the road. Off the road he goes, and upside down, and in bad shape. And I said, you didn't see that coming, did you? One moment, everything's just fine. The next moment, you're laying in the hospital, getting stitched back together. And it's the same way for you and I. Today, everything's fine. And I walked out of there after visiting him, and I told Deb, said, well, I don't know, he's in pretty bad shape. And I said, yep. He's young and he's healthy. He'll recover pretty well. If that was me, maybe not so good. But, and it's the same way with our body here. If we're strong, if we're healthy, something comes up, knocks out a knee, hurts a foot, we'll recover because we're strong and we're healthy. But if we're barely limping by, if I'm limping along on one foot here and something happens to the other foot, well, I'm in trouble. So my message for you today is that we need to work, not just be complacent, but work. Each one of us individually work on our part of the body, on making recovery, full recovery, that we're not crippled up as a group, that we don't allow Satan one little spot. A study I gave in Washington a couple weeks ago, and that was part of my study there, is that we fortify ourselves and we don't fall prey to use the adversary's tools to try and correct our life. It'll never work. We have to use the Lord's tools. We have to put to work in our life the attributes of Christ. All my young people in that Sunday school class, remember that word, attributes? That we have to use the attributes of Christ if we're going to be victorious. And let's go to 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. And I want to look at verse 23, just across the page from where we were. You might think this verse is different for this kind of sermon, but it was something else the Lord really put upon my heart, so I'm gonna endeavor to get it done. And we're going to read verse 23 through 33, and it says, "For this is the Apostle Paul speaking again, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you do, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let's go ahead and read a couple more verses. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are not judged, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that he should not be condemned with the world, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one with another. And as we oftentimes hear these words at a sacrament service, but yet I find there's much more meaning here in the 28th verse and the 27th verse. He said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So it tells me, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it tells me that I know that you're unworthy to partake of the bread and the wine if you're not baptized. That's real cut and dried. But this statement here in the 28th verse, it says, let a man examine himself, tells me more to it than that. That there's a proper way to come and partake. There's a correct manner to approach the Lord. And, you know, it makes a couple more statements, one of which I like. It says, examine yourself and then let the man eat. You know, in other words, make it right. Fix it. But if we don't, it says we're not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? It means we really don't get it. We don't comprehend the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we're just going through the steps. And that's what complacency is. Complacency is that we're showing up, we got our tie on, put my smile on before I come in, I set my spot in the pew, I shake a few hands, and I go home. And it really doesn't have a deep meaning. The Lord desires that His Spirit would consume every aspect of our life, our work, our play. You know, Andrew and I was talking yesterday as we was driving, and you know, he made a statement about people his age and younger. He's getting kind of old. They're not home on Friday night. They're not home on Saturday night. They're out doing something. And the more I thought about that, I thought that's probably true. It's probably true. But my question is, my thought is, are they out doing something that's beneficial for their soul's well-being? Or do we just have a need to be entertained? I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong. But is it in strengthening the body? Are they strengthening themselves for the body? You and I, the older crowd, you know, guys like Gary and I, the old guys. Are we any different? You know, are we on our couch? Guys like me, if I'm on a couch, I'm sleeping. But are we any different? Are we consumed with the daily activity? Or are we doing something to strengthen the body? The 31st, 32nd, and 33rd verses are interesting. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would judge ourselves. Do you look at yourself with a critical eye and say, hey, I need to fix this. I need to fix this in my life. We would not be judged. Because the Lord will chasten us. In the 33rd verse, you know, sometimes I know as a people, we get tired. Physically tired. We get tired of listening to a guy like me sit up here and blab away. But in the 33rd verse, it says, my brethren, when you come together to eat, to partake of the emblems, it says, tarry one with another. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's look in Matthew, the 26th chapter, right quick. I just got a quick verse there. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Somebody probably knows where I'm going already. 26th chapter, verse 38. And this was Christ in the garden. And let's go back to the 36th verse. And it says, and then come Jesus with them to the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, set ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, yea, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And that word, I looked it up, in that very cool little program that Gordon put on my computer for me, that I can hit the word and it tells you what it is and where it came from and all that. And those two words are the same, the word tarry. Here and in Corinthians, that when we come together, that we pray, that we stay together for one another. Here Christ asks his disciples, stay here and tarry with me. Be with me. Uplift me. Pray for me. And we come together to partake of the emblems. I know sometimes we get weary in a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour service. But the Lord's calling out to us to be more committed, to be more intentional in how we live for Him. Not just by accident. I told the kids this morning that these young people that, you know, I want them to go out and do some type of service this week for somebody. And I said, you know what? There's one thing about being a service to somebody else. It typically is going to inconvenience you. It's going to inconvenience you. If someone calls me and needs something, it's never when I'm just sitting around doing nothing, which is very rarely. It's always going to be when I'm headed out the door somewhere else, or I'm in the middle of something, and I just calm down for a second and say, no problem. No problem. I'm willing to be inconvenienced for you. And we need to be willing to be inconvenienced for one another. Otherwise, I don't believe it's true service. It's on my schedule, on my time, when I feel like it. It's still nice, don't get me wrong. But it's not true service. There has to be some sacrifice of my time, my effort, my energy, that I might serve you. I have a ton of scriptures left. I'm not going to read them all. We're going to skip to the end. Let's go to Moroni. That's near the end of the book, isn't it? Moroni, the 9th chapter. And the 6th verse says, and this was, I believe this was Mormon. Yeah, speaking to his son Moroni. And he says, now, my beloved son, notwithstanding the hardness, this, of course, we recognize, for those of you who don't remember, you know, these guys were in battle, they were fighting each other, And Mormon and Moroni were separate from each other, but they were both doing the same thing. They were trying to preach to their own people, and they were really tough. They were really hard of heart. And they were very much just very angry at their brethren, the Lamanites, and wanted to destroy them. And they didn't want to listen. And Mormon had just said, you know, when I'm tough with them, they get angry. And if I'm not tough with them, they don't listen. But in the sixth verse, it says, now, my beloved son, notwithstanding the hardness, their hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. Our perspective in life needs to change. It needs to continue to change. I'm sure it's changed from the beginning for each one of us, but it needs to continue to change. We have a labor to perform. We have a duty and a responsibility to accomplish for the Lord. That's why we're here. Not to be wealthy. It's not to be famous. It's not to build our own kingdom. We have a labor to perform. And my hope and my desire is that we're diligent in our time. One of these days, you guys are going to come to my funeral. Hopefully, you won't have to find out anything that you don't already know. I haven't had any very exciting life. There won't be much there. But until that time, we have a labor to perform. In my time, my little blip of the history of the world, I need to do what the Lord has me to do. And then I'm going to pass on. And as Mormon said here, that you know our souls and that will find rest in the kingdom. That our souls will find rest in the kingdom. That's what this is about. It's about eternal life. And not only our own, but those that are around us. So as I try and bring this to a close here, my desire for us today, an application of the Word of God in our life today. Don't look at yourself as being the sole member on an island out there. You got to fin off all the pirates by yourself. You're a member of a body which is much larger. Not just here in Phoenix, but the body of Christ throughout the world. And in reality, we have a responsibility to every one of them. Our brothers and sisters in foreign lands that we may never met, we still have a responsibility to them. We can pray for them, we can support them, we can uplift them, we can encourage them. I found a letter in my scriptures this morning, and it was in an envelope, handwritten, and I don't think I've opened it. I was like, what's that doing there? Well, it was a letter that one of our sisters in the Philippines had handed me that last day that we were there, and I probably just slipped it in my scripture, and so I opened it and read it this morning, you know, and to Tobias's wife, and he's a pastor of a very large congregation there, and as the pastor's wife, she is on it. I mean, she knows who was there and who. 250 people come on Sunday morning, and she knows who was there and who wasn't there, how many kids was there, how many adults were there, how many moms were there, who needed a ride and who didn't need a ride. She's engaged. It's intentional, you know. And don't get me wrong, dear, I don't expect you to do that. But it's just exciting. She's excited about the gospel, the work of the gospel. Her husband's excited about the work of the gospel and what they can do and what more can we do. Do we need to add on? And they've already doubled or tripled the size of their little church, standing room only, you know. And it's exciting to me to see that. But those are our brothers and sisters, no different than the ones sitting in this room. We still have a responsibility to them. But we got to start here. We have to start among ourselves. That this little piece of the body of Christ is up and running, in good shape, encouraged, if there's issues, I don't know all the issues. I'm kind of hard of hearing and hard of listening both. If there's issues, we need to fix them. Don't just shove them off in the corner. Fix them. Got heartburn with someone? Fix it. You know? My thing in life is I'm not living with regrets. Every day I'm good. And if I'm not, then tomorrow I'm going to get up and go fix it. Because I'm not. Life is too short. I'm not living with regrets. So do what you need to do. Do what the Lord places upon your heart to do. And reach out and grow. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to grow. Don't be afraid to make a commitment to someone that you're not really committed to. Don't be afraid to get to know someone. Encourage someone. Be a part of their life. Take on more. Don't be afraid. Thank you.